This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
One team, I don't know what team it was, I forgot. They asked if I had a kid. They was like, I heard you have a kid on the way. And I'm like, I don't have a baby. And they was like, you sure? I want to know his name. And they was just pressing me by just to see how I react, see if I buzz, but didn't buzz at all because I have no babies.
Baby on the way. Did you knock up somebody that you don't know about or you know about and you're hiding? How about that from Kevin Knox, who should be a top 10 pick tonight in the NBA draft? Let's head to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, joining us here on the program. Ricky, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm good, Matt. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Care to guess of what team was asking Kevin Knox that question?
I have absolutely no idea, and I'm not going to speculate, but just reading that made me cringe. I mean, come on, NBA teams, have a little more tact than that. That is really inappropriate. I think it sounds like Knox handled it well, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. If you got nothing to hide, then, like, what are you asking me that for? Like, I got nothing to hide. What are you doing trying to get under my skin? Interesting stuff. All right, I got a bunch of questions for you about where you think some guys are going to go. I know that Trae Young is a phenomenal player in college. I look at what's happening for this overall draft, and I really wonder what happens to him tonight. Where do you think he winds up going? Because I've seen him anywhere from, like, 8th down to 20th. Where does he go tonight?
Yeah, it's crazy. It makes sense in a way because he is the most polarizing player in this class. I still think he's the best point guard, just given the fact that he's clearly the best shooter in the draft. I also believe he's the best passer, him and Luka Doncic being 1-2 in that category. I think Trae Young would be a great pick for Orlando at number 6. I think he'd be a good pick for the Bulls at number 7 as well, but the recent reports are that he could slide all the way to the Clippers selection at number 12, number 13. If that's the case, I think he's going to provide great value for whatever team takes him in that part of the draft. It's tough to say where he's going to go accurately right now because he does seem like he has a huge range of possibilities. But, you know, for right now, I still peg him to Orlando, I think, just because I believe he's the best point guard in the class. Orlando needs a point guard. And for all of his limitations in terms of his size and his athletic ability, he's just so skilled, and that's the type of stuff that translates in today's NBA.
Any way he slips out of the lottery in your mind?
Yeah, well, I think that, I guess maybe it's possible. It's hard to find, like, a soft landing spot for him because so many of these teams do have point guards. I would say maybe there's, like, a 20% chance he slips out of the lottery, but
wow.
It's just hard to project right now because, you know, that is the deepest position in the NBA at the moment.
Right. So Mo Bamba seems to be a hot commodity. Teams are trying to get up to maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in that range to draft Mo Bamba. Obviously, the 7'10" wingspan is what it is. But, you know, how much of a gamble would that be to go up and get a guy whose game is still pretty raw?
Yeah, I watched Mo Bamba and wrote a big feature on him when he was an incoming high school junior. So he's been on my radar for a while. I loved him at the time. I mean, you could see what makes him such a tantalizing talent with that lateral mobility, with the wingspan, and a little bit of shooting potential. The problem is I haven't seen him get much better over the last few years since the first time I saw him as a high school junior. I still don't think he could do anything with the ball in his hands, and I wonder how valuable is his rim protection when in the NBA he's guarding a more perimeter-oriented five.
Yeah,
like P.J. Tucker was playing the five in the Western Conference Finals for the Rockets. How valuable is Mo Bamba's shot blocking going to be when he spaced out to the three-point line on defense? To me, he's not as good of a prospect as Jaren Jackson Jr., though it seems like he's the guy that NBA teams at the top of this draft really value. I expect him to go ahead of Jaren Jackson, and I think that's going to be a mistake.
Ooh, interesting. You know, I'm curious about the medicals on Michael Porter Jr. and whether or not that's going to cause him to slip because – look, he's a project, too. He only played 3 games in college in his whole career, but due to the back injuries and now back spasms and other issues he's been having, he says there's no issue. Everyone's cool with his medicals. But what are you hearing about people's concerns about Porter?
I think the concerns are obvious. I mean, that the health issues are terrifying. He's got hip issues, back surgery. You know, that's the same injury Dwight Howard had, and he was never really the same player after that. It's like Porter's got 70-year-old man injuries at 20 years old. So I do think that's a big concern. And then also, there's some holes in his skill set, too. To me, he's an isolation scorer. He's a guy who doesn't see the floor very well. Does he make his teammates better as a passer? That's my first question. Defensively, does he make an impact at all? And where is his jump shot at exactly? We didn't get any data on that in college. Is he going to be a 30% shooter, a 35% shooter, a 40% shooter? We have no idea how true his jumper is right now. He has a lot of question marks to me. I wouldn't be surprised if he falls in this draft. And, you know, the team that takes him is really going for the lottery ticket in a sense, because he's the biggest boomer bust prospect available in this class right now.
Interesting. You know, Ricky, when you look at the top of the draft, and you know, here in Vegas, I understand that you guys don't care about stats or odds, but we do. And it was minus 2,500 24 hours ago that DeAndre Ayton was going number one to Phoenix. It's down to minus 1,000 right now, and a lot of people are saying that's because of the comment he made last night, saying that success to him is his second contract in the NBA, not a championship MVP or whatever. No, it's about the money he'll make when he finally gets to be a free agent and can go anywhere he wants to go. Is there any thought in your mind that Phoenix would pass on Ayton and go some other direction?
That's an absolutely amazing quote. I didn't hear that. DeAndre Ayton has a history of being extremely honest in media interviews, which I love him for, even if it's not always maybe the appropriate thing to say. I thought the Phoenix could go with Luka Doncic from the start, mostly because they did hire his Slovenian team national coach over the summer. To me, that was a clear sign that Doncic would be the front runner. Apparently not, though. It seems like Everyone is pegging Ayton to go to the Suns. I actually think it would be a mistake to take DeAndre Ayton over Luka Doncic. That's just my opinion. But, you know, you can see what's so appealing about Ayton the moment he walks into the gym. Just a chiseled, jacked frame at like 7'1", 250 pounds. Elite athleticism. I wonder what his best skill is, though. He's not a great shooter, not a great passer. Doesn't really handle the ball much. He's really just a fantastic finisher inside. Does that still work against NBA length and NBA athleticism? We'll see. I expect him to be very good. I expect him to put up big numbers. I don't think he's going to have the greatest impact on winning of any player in this class because of his issues on the defensive end of the floor.
Ricky, what about number two at Sacramento? Do you believe that they want that pick to be in play tonight? Or are they going to take Bagley at number two?
They should take Doncic, I think. And the report late last night was that he's still in consideration. I think Doncic is exactly the type of winning player that Sacramento has badly needed for years. If they do take Bagley, Bagley's a tantalizing player in his own right. If Bagley continues to improve his shooting and his ball handling, you could have a really unique 6'11", high-motor offensive force. Similar questions to Ayton, though. How much does he impact the game on the defensive end? What does he really contribute in terms of overall winning? I like Bagley. I'd probably have him as around the number 4 or 5 overall player in this class. Mm-hmm. I think taking him over Doncic would be a mistake, but I mean, this is the Kings. The Kings can do anything. They're the most unpredictable franchise in the league. Really hard to get a read on what Vlade is thinking over there. So, I mean, we'll see. That's really where the draft starts, to me, is that number two in Sacramento comes on the clock.
Yeah, I would agree. Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, joining us, talking NBA draft. So there are a bunch of teams trying to come up, but the Spurs are sitting there with Kawhi Leonard. After tonight, is Kawhi Leonard a Spur in your mind?
I think Kawhi is definitely still a Spur after tonight, because just trading a player with the talent and the magnitude of Kawhi Leonard, that's not something that happens, you know, overnight. Granted, the Bulls did this last year with Jimmy Butler, but those trade rumors were coming more from the organizational side than the player side. I think, you know, if it's up to the Spurs, they don't want to trade Kawhi. They spent years building Kawhi into the player that he is. I don't think he gets traded tonight. The only way he does get traded is if he really forces their hand to make a deal. Obviously, everything we thought we knew about Kawhi and thought we knew about the Spurs has been flipped on its head over the last 12 months. I don't think you rush to trade him, though. I think he's still on the Spurs after tonight, and we'll see what happens with that the rest of the summer.
If Boston were to go up to get Doncic, say, at 3 or 4 if he was there, would that signal to you that that Kyrie Irving could be traded and could a Kawhi for Kyrie swap be in the works?
That's possible. I think Doncic and Kawhi could be great together. Like, maybe you use Jaylen Brown as your trade piece to go up and make that move. I don't know. Kawhi, like, if Kawhi's gone, I'm thinking LeBron to Boston. Kyrie's gone, I'm thinking LeBron to Boston more than Kawhi. You know, we'll see. Obviously, Boston has a lot of valuable trade assets. If they think Doncic is the best player in the class, which I do, they would be well within reason to go up and get him. Who knows? I mean, this is going to be a crazy NBA summer. Anytime LeBron's a free agent, it's a crazy NBA summer. Yeah. So I think that, you know, the draft is just going to be the first chapter in that.
Outside of Trae Young, who has the biggest dropping potential tonight in your mind who might be sitting around for a while?
You know, I love Miles Bridges, but it doesn't seem like these NBA teams are that infatuated with him, the 6'6 sophomore forward from Michigan State. To me, like, you just look at the conference finals, Miles Bridges could have been on the floor in any of those games.
Mm.
For whatever reason, he seems to be slipping, though. I wouldn't be surprised if he falls out of the lottery, if he falls maybe to the end of the lottery at 14 to Denver, I think is where I've had him in a recent mock draft. So he'd be a great pick for Philly to me at number 10, but if Philly passes on him, he could easily slide.
Hmm. Speaking of Philly, is Jalen Brunson a first-round pick?
Yeah, I really like Jalen Brunson. I think, you know, ultimately he's going to be a one-position defender in a league that likes to switch. You wonder if he's going to be able to use his, you know, post-up ability, which is so effective at the college level in the NBA against bigger, longer athletes. I still think he's a first-round pick because of his ability to hit off the dribble jumpers, to make winning plays, to just run an offense from day one at the NBA level. So I think Brunson will be picked in the 20s. He'd be a really good pick for the Pacers at 23. You know, maybe at 29, 30. There's some teams like the Hawks, the Nets in that range. So I think Brunson should be a first-rounder tonight.
End of the draft, and I'm only asking this because I've covered Kyrie Thomas for a really long time out of Creighton. Is he a first-round pick in your mind? He's a late first, I know, but does he go in the late 20s, early 30, or 30?
Really tough question. There's so much uncertainty around that range of the draft. To me, he deserves to be in the mix. He's a little undersized for a shooting guard at 6'3", but he does have the 6'10 wingspan. Great defensive player, obviously, two-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year, and he can hit spot-up jumpers. Can he, like, do anything off the dribble at all, though, in terms of half-court offense? That's the big question to me. Is he going to be a first-rounder? I mean, I'd say it's a 50-50 chance right now. I really don't know. All it takes is one team at the back end of the draft to love him.
All right, I got a last question. Who gets drafted first, Dante DiVincenzo or Grayson Allen?
I'm going to go with DiVincenzo. I think he has more two-way potential than Grayson Allen does. Grayson Allen really is just a shooter who isn't that good of a shooter. And Allen, like, Grayson Allen will post really impressive athletic numbers at, like, the combine, but to me, he doesn't really have functional athleticism. Whereas I feel like DiVincenzo is a little bit better defender.
Yep.
He's a little tougher in terms of driving to the basket. So I'll go with DiVincenzo.
I agree. You got more bounce. I love DiVincenzo. I think he should be a top 15 pick, but I don't think he's going to be tonight. Maybe top 20, but I love that kid, and I think he's got a huge, huge upside. Grayson Allen, I'm just curious. Does he get booed tonight if he gets picked in the first round? How did the crowd react to one of the most hated Duke players of all time? Ricky, great stuff today. Really appreciate it coming on.
Yep, thanks.
Ricky O'Donnell, SBNation.com, covering the NBA draft. Great stuff with him there on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I've got some NHL breaking news to tell you coming up next. It shouldn't be that surprising, but a coach is going to get a new gig next. SBNation Radio.